So let's look at this, the power of generosity. Before we look at the actual chapter, I want to say a few things about the harvest. So in Nehemiah 8, we read that the Israelites celebrated, it was actually Sukkot, which is also known as the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And so this takes place at the end of the harvest. People make temporary shelters. And in fact, I was reading that you're supposed to be able to see the stars through your shelter. So you put some leaves and it's kind of like living in tents. It's kind of and you're supposed to see the stars and remind yourself that ultimately it is God who provides. They remind themselves that they lived in the desert for 40 years. They lived in tents. And they reminded themselves, even though we lived in the desert, God provided for us. They remind themselves, well, God provided, but he still provides. It reminds them to be thankful for the harvest. It reminds them to be thankful that God is looking after them and he has brought them into the promised land. And it's also a time to be hospitable, to share with others, to give to the poor. So I thought about our harvest service. It's actually a time to remember God's provision. It's time to remember that God is our sovereign provider and he looks after us and he's there in the background from the producer to the greengrocer. It's a time to be thankful. It's a time for us to say, wow, I've been so busy this year, Lord, I haven't even thought about all the ways that you provide for us. And it's a time to be thankful and to consider, well, how do we respond to all that God has provided? And in the context, one of the ways that to respond is to enjoy some of the produce and to celebrate and have joy. And that's what we're going to be doing later in the big hall as we have lunch together. And I like Nehemiah because it's a very practical book. And, you know, we go to churches and we hear like the Hebrew word for this. I'm not going to give any Hebrew words for giving because it's practical. And I just want to give us some practical ideas to consider about generosity from Nehemiah. In chapter 5, which we haven't read, Nehemiah helps the poor. And so the people are poor and they're indebted. They've been selling their children into slavery to pay for food, to pay for taxes, to back pay interest. And Nehemiah basically says, this is really destroying our society. And I want you to give back to people the fields that they pawned, the houses that they pawned. And I want you to stop charging interest. And so Nehemiah is trying to reignite the nation. And he's trying to overcome a crippling poverty. And we read that Nehemiah, he forgoes his rights as the governor. He has a right to a certain amount of tax and food, and he says, I'm going to forgo that right. I want the health of the nation. I want to I have this vision to reestablish our nation as a healthy nation. And I just have to say that vision is something very powerful. It causes people to sacrifice resources. And so right in there, Nehemiah has a tremendous concern for the poor. And it's interesting that when the Apostle Paul has to go to Jerusalem and talk about the grace of Christ that he's been preaching to the Gentiles, remember that the early church began as a Jewish church, and then they realized that God wanted them to reach out to Gentiles, especially through Paul. And he has to go back and explain to himself. And it says in Galatians 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, James, Cephas, that's Peter and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they should go to the circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing that I'd been eager to do all along. And I have to say, one of the fruits of the gospel, as we respond to God's grace in our life, is a concern for the poor. And these are ways that we contribute that concern. We show that concern. We have the Slough Food Bank. And thank you to those who've given food. And we're going to be taking that to Slough Food Bank. And we will continue to for 365 days a year, have our bin available if you want to buy some extra food, and you can give towards the Slough Food Bank. This helps people in our community in poverty. We have the Tear Fund Big Quiz Night coming up on Saturday, the 15th of November. And this is an opportunity to support the work of Tear Fund that are working through the local church globally in relief and development. And I think an even more worthy cause now that we live in a world where the government has said, well, we need to up defense, so we'll take away relief and development funds. And I would like to just challenge us, even if we can't come and do the quiz, maybe we'd still like to sort of give Richard a £10 note so that we can give a great gift to Tear Fund and to bless their work. A bit closer to Christmas, we're going to have the Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes. And these will be an opportunity for us to fill a shoebox, and they go out to children in need around the world. And John was telling us that Jack Rankin is also going to join us again, our local MP, and fill up some shoeboxes. And so Nehemiah shows this tremendous concern for the poor, because he knows if there's a lot of poverty, it actually is counterproductive to our society. And God has called us to give to the poor. Looking at our passage, the power of generosity, and these are just some very simple things that come out of this passage that David and Pam read for us. The first thing I want to say is they gave towards the running costs of the temple. We read, we assume the responsibility for carrying out the commands to give a third of a shekel each year for the service of the house of our God. A third of a shekel was about, in today's terms, about £2.50. So it wasn't a big thing, but it was kind of like a tax. Everyone paid this tax, and that went towards the running costs of the house of God, which was the temple. And we see in the passage, this was to buy things like bread for the altar. This was to buy holy things in verse 33. This was for sacrificial offerings, the temporal sacrifices in 33. This was also for wood for the fire on the altar in verse 34. And so they just gave towards the practical running costs of the building. They also gave towards the support of the leadership. And this is a little bit more implied, but if you look in other passages, the gifts and tithes, a certain percentage of them went towards the priests and the Levites and the musicians and other people who were working in the temple and working in various sort of religious capacities throughout the land. And so we read that their giving was for the sanctuary and for the ministering priests. I've added the Levites, the gatekeepers, and the musicians. And Paul says, you know, in 1 Corinthians 9:14, he's quoting Jesus. It's not something we see in the Gospels, but obviously there was a lot more that Jesus said, not in the Gospels. But Paul explicitly states that the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. And so that's the sort of principle Paul is talking about, that people give towards the support of the leadership. And it's no different for our church in 2025. We are called to give towards the running costs of our church, towards the lights, towards the heating in the winter, towards the coffee, towards the equipment. And we're also called to give towards supporting a part-time minister. And so we can look back at Nehemiah and say, well, that was for them, but it's the same principle here. In fact, it's the same principle that works throughout the whole world. If you know you have a restaurant, people have to come and they pay for the food, and that supports the restaurant. And so that's a sort of a law, I guess, that the Lord has written into everything. God has written to everything. It's interesting as well that it's very clear in the passage that everyone, including the leadership, gave. And it says in verse 34, we, the priests, the Levites, and the people, have cast lots to determine when each of our families is to bring to the house of our God at set times each year a contribution of wood to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. And so everyone, the priests, the Levites, and the people were involved in giving. Nehemiah as well, you know, we read in 5, as we mentioned, it was out of reverence for God, it says, that Nehemiah forwent the taxes and food due to the governor. So he was, in a sense, giving by not taking what was owed to him. And Paul says to us in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so Paul is saying this is a thing for each of us. It's not that's a calling for this person or there. This is a general calling for everyone who follows Christ. And finally, they gave their first fruits and tithes. And we read, we also assume responsibility for bringing to the house of the Lord each year the first fruits of our crops and of every fruit tree. We will bring to the storerooms of the house of God, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of all of our trees, and of our new wine and olive oil. And we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites. It's sounding exciting at the back there. I hope that maths is doing good. And so they gave their first fruits, and so that was something where God said, when you get the first of your crop, you give it as like a thank offering. This is almost like a thank offering day. But then of everything, they were called to give a tithe. The tithe really is approximately 10% of everything. And I just want to say something very briefly. Tithing is not specifically taught in the New Testament. It's not specifically taught, but Paul does say each one of us should set aside a sum of money in keeping with their income. So he's saying, well, set aside a sum of money depending on your income. But also very clearly, if you read the New Testament, generosity should be motivated by the example of Jesus. And so we're supposed to look at God, who gave everything in Christ. And we don't think, well, Jesus, how much percentage of his blood did he give? You know, 10%. No, he gave his whole life for us. And we're to be motivated solely by that example. And so we have a God who's given everything, and that's why we have thanksgiving. We remind ourselves everything we have comes from God, and God is working behind everything to make sure the crops grow, to make sure there's people to harvest them, to make sure there's people to transport them, to make sure there's people to put them in supermarkets, to make sure we have the money to buy them. God is working behind everything to provide. And when we look at God's rich, rich provision, we respond with generosity for that. And so in closing, a couple of thoughts. Vision really motivated Nehemiah's giving. It motivated Nehemiah's challenge to the people to give. And I just want to say very clearly, I'm very motivated, and I hope we're all very motivated by, I believe, a growing vision from God to say, we have to get this church ready for the next generation. I think, I don't know exactly all the reasons why the deacons chose me as your minister. It might be my good looks. But I think one of the reasons is it's my youthful energy, which I'm surprised at as well. I don't feel that young, but to bring a youthful energy to sort of reignite our church, to prepare our church for the next generation. Because if you look around, a bunch of us won't be here in 20 years' time. But there's a bunch of young people who will, and we want to invest in them and to invest in a building and equipment that's going to bring in young people to get ourselves ready for the next generation. It's also something of worship. And that's a real strange picture, but I was trying to find pictures from this church. I thought, well, this is like the three kings who came to worship Jesus. But ultimately we give because God's given us and we want to worship him and thank him. We give because God is sovereign and we want his kingdom to come. We realize that there's something eternal that goes on as we give and invest in his kingdom. We say, well, I want to be part of your eternal kingdom. I want to see it grow here in Datchet. And so it's a worship of God. That's one of the reasons why we give. So those closing lines, very strong ones. We will not neglect the house of our God. And I just want to sort of highlight some bullet points. We're to give worshipfully. This is something of worship. It's not just me standing up saying you should give to the church. No, I'm encouraging you to worship God through your giving. We're to give kingdom-mindedly. We're to think, you know, there's something much bigger going on here, and I want to give and I want to invest towards that. We are to give generously in all kinds of ways. And so one of the ways I thought we could give generously as a church is, this is just a simple card for the new minister who's just been installed at St. Mary's. I thought we could all sign our name and say, welcome to the village. We're praying for you. We want you to have a blessed ministry. We are to be generous in our encouragements of others. We are to give generously. I think it goes without saying we need to give locally. And so sometimes, you know, people come to a church, but they're giving to lots of different other things. And we need to give to our church because I come on a Sunday morning and I'm hopefully in the winter blessed by heat and blessed by a coffee. And so I'm blessed by the sermon. So we give to where we are sort of attending. So we're to give locally. I'm not saying we don't give broadly to other things, but we are to think about our local church as an important place that we give. And finally, Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. And we are to give joyfully. It's not a burden giving. It's something of joy because ultimately we're reminding ourselves, God has given us everything. Wow, I am so thankful. I'm overflowing with joy. How can I not give? It's reminding ourselves of the tremendous blessings that we have in the Christian life and in the gospel. So a few, as I say, very simple thoughts from Nehemiah to encourage us about the power of generosity. And as I say, if you read Nehemiah, he really not only got the walls built, but he got people back to the law. And the second thing that he did after they were reading their Bibles is he got them to give, because as people gave, the temple worked, the priesthood worked, the Levites, who were more like deacons, worked, the musicians could work, the gatekeepers could work, and the religious side, I guess, of the society could work. He also, you know, got people giving to the poor because he said, well, poverty is a terrible thing. We need to address that. And so he not only got the walls built, but he, in a sense, reignited the spiritual and the social and whatever life of the nation, he got it going. And so some challenges for us this morning, and having, you know, prepared this message, Ricky and I even sat down ourselves and said, well, I'm going to talk on giving. So we sat down and we reviewed our giving, and we thought, well, you know, how much is God blessing us with? And we have sort of thought about for the next year how much we plan to give. And I went and had a little chat with Richard as well and said, you know, you can count on some things, because I want to sort of, you know, not only to preach about it, but I want to be a minister who leads in that too. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you so much for a book like Nehemiah that's so practical. A person who felt God had called him to go and rebuild the walls, to go and get the people reading the scriptures again, to go and get the people giving so that the temple could work, so that the priesthood and the Levites could function, so that musicians could do great music. Lord, there's so many challenges there. And I pray that as we consider all that you've given us, and the greatest gift that you've given us is Jesus, as we consider that, that you'll help us, Lord, to give generously towards the work of this church, towards the work that we support in world mission. And so I pray that you'll bless us, and you'll bless this church, and stir within us, Lord, a spirit of generosity, I pray. Amen.